Hello and welcome to Book Choice on Fine Music Radio with me, your host, Paige Nick. Today, you're tuned into my very favorite show. It's Book Choice, Publisher's Choice. Actually, I lie. Every single show is my favorite show, but I really do like this one. This is a very specific show. Once a month, we get three of South Africa's top publishers, Penguin Random House, Pan Macmillan, and Jonathan Ball Publishers. They come and join us in the studio together with our very favorite bookseller, Exclusive Books. And these guys who work behind the scenes in publishing every single day come on and they tell us what they've got going on, what they're publishing, what they're launching, what they're reading, what they're excited about, and what they think you'll be excited about. So it's a super interesting show. Each of these publishers and Exclusive Books have a 10-minute segment each, where they tell us what they've got coming up. And in between all of that, we've got some very fine music. This is, after all, Fine Music Radio. Although today it's Fine Music and Fine Book Radio. First up on the show, we're joined by the very energetic, very fabulous, very busy Pan Macmillan publishing team. Now, I'm pretty sure you've heard of Pan Macmillan, especially if you're a listener to the show, because they join us once a month to tell us what they've got going on. But even more than that, I'm pretty sure I could wager a month's salary that you have a book on your shelf that's been published by Pan Macmillan, whether that's local or international. They're a huge global publishing house. The local team source great international titles and they bring them to South Africa, and you'll find them in Exclusive Books or any of your local booksellers. They also publish quite a lot of very excellent South African fiction and nonfiction. I know this because they're my publisher and I have a novel coming out with Pan Macmillan in April this year. So I'm sure we'll tell you a little bit more about that a little closer to April. But first, back to right now and February and what the Pan Macmillan team want to bring us. We're joined by Helene, who is just the most wonderful person, mostly because she loves books more than I do even, and that's saying a lot. Helene and I can talk about books forever and ever and ever a day, so I'm very much looking forward to having her on the show.
Hi, Paige. I want to tell you about 5 February, which is a very special day. 5 February is World Read Aloud Day, and we at Pan Macmillan are beyond excited to celebrate it. This day acts as a communal celebration of literature, bringing people together in libraries, schools, and communities to commemorate the joy of reading and storytelling, while also spotlighting authors and the wealth of literature available worldwide. We want to inspire families to celebrate this day in the comfort of their own homes, as well as in public spaces. I have some practical tips for what families and schools can do on World Read Aloud Day, as well as some book recommendations from our shelves. Who is behind World Read Aloud Day? World Read Aloud Day was founded by Lit World, a non-profit organization focused on global literacy, in 2010, making this the 15th anniversary of the campaign. Locally, Pan Macmillan is heeding the call from Nali Bali to sign their pledge to participate in World Read Aloud Day. You can join us and do so by visiting their website and sharing your intentions for the day. By pledging to Nali Bali, you help them track and analyze the data around this wonderful campaign. And you can also gain access to a very special story created for this day, and it's available in all 11 official spoken languages of South Africa. Visit their website for more info by going to nalibali.org/rad2025. What is the benefit of reading aloud and why do we celebrate it? Reading aloud to children provides profound advantages, Paige, nurturing their development in essential ways. It promotes cognitive growth by building vocabulary and enhancing language skills, setting a strong foundation for effective communication. Additionally, it boosts comprehension and listening abilities, encouraging kids to engage actively with a story. Reading aloud also fosters imagination and creativity, sparking curiosity and a lifelong love of literature. Importantly, Paige, it creates a warm bonding experience, strengthening the relationship between the reader and the child while offering comfort and security. Ultimately, reading aloud enriches the emotional and intellectual lives of children as well as adults, paving the way for a brighter future. What can families do at home to celebrate World Read Aloud Day? You can celebrate World Read Aloud Day at home by making sure everyone in your house and family knows that it's a big deal. Why not choose a special book and set it aside? Or try and pick a surprise new book from a bookshop? Or you can just simply use a family favorite. You can create a cozy reading nook and instill a culture of using it and inaugurate this reading nook on World Read Aloud Day. You could even make setting it up part of the fun on the day. You can discuss stories and storytelling at the dinner table and make sure you model reading behavior to kids to show them how fun it is. On World Read Aloud Day, you can remind everyone that a special event is taking place that evening and tell them to report to the reading nook at a specific time. I always say after bath time is best because nothing screams reading like comfy pajamas. On World Read Aloud Day, you can take turns to read aloud and get everyone involved. Even if the youngest can't read yet, you can have them tell a story inspired by the pictures in the book. And after the day, you can share the wonderful memories of reading aloud together and talk about it at the dinner table. Why not consider making it a regular family event? Every Monday night, we all read together. And last but not least, you can share your new family tradition with your extended family and friends by posting videos or photos of you reading aloud to each other using the hashtags WRAD2025 or hashtag WRAD2025SA. What can schools do on World Read Aloud Day? With World Read Aloud Day happening tomorrow on the 5th of February, I suspect it's a bit too late for suggestions now. But just in case, Paige, I will share some ideas. Schools can get the kids together in assembly or in another space to read to, and kids of all ages can participate in various ways, from the grade RRs miming a story to the older kids reading to the babies. The school could choose a theme for the books to be read aloud or pick books that align with a theme that has already been chosen for the year. And teachers can even make use of unusual places for a reading hour to make it more interesting, like gathering in the parking lot or on the hockey field. This adds some adventure to the activity. Teachers could pair kids in twos as reading buddies and have them read aloud to each other. Or perhaps older kids could team up with younger ones for a year of reading together. If you have time or resources, you could even invite someone fun in the community to read to the kids, like a local sports star or even better, a local author. Or someone like the principal or head boy from a receiving school. World Read Aloud Day can be the start of an initiative to create reading culture at school. The most important thing is to tell kids that it is World Read Aloud Day on 5 February and engage in conversations about reading and encourage them to ask their families and friends to read to them or to listen to them reading. Which Pan Macmillan books are well suited to reading aloud? Paige, any book is suited to reading aloud, but I'd recommend books like Trevor Noah's Into the Uncut Grass or As Long as It's Not a Dog by Yaku Jacobs, as they can keep the whole family entertained and enthralled. A collection of poetry and songs like All That I Am by Refilwe Mwahlodi is a good idea, or perhaps something a little bit more serious like How to Stop a Train, the story of how Mohandas Gandhi became the Mahatma by Stephanie Ebert and Catherine Pillay. We also have a wonderful series of books we call the Furry Feelings series by Wendy Martens, which helps with emotional regulation. My favorite book in that series is Chloe Counts to 10, and I often remind myself of the cute little meerkat when I am in tricky situations. Whatever you do, dear listeners, just remember that reading can be fun and communal. If you are participating in World Read Aloud Day and posting about it on social media, use the hashtags RAD2025 or hashtag RAD2025SA and join in the conversation. We can't wait to see what you are reading.
Yes, yes, yes. World Read Aloud Day is tomorrow, the 5th of February. I am here for this. I am big on this. I think this is a fantastic initiative. When I was a little girl, very, very, very long time ago, we used to go to the Camps Bay Library every Saturday, our whole family. I'm one of six children, so we had to pile into two cars. We would split up and go down to the library, and we would get to choose our books. And when I was little, I always chose the same book, A Fly Went by Mike McClintock. It was my very favorite book. I dragged it home with me every week. In fact, I always say I feel very bad for all the other children in the neighborhood because they never got to read this book. It was always at my house. It was always out on loan from the library. In my memory, I used to beg them to read it to me, and they would read it to me over and over and over again until the pages just about fell apart and the library had to order a fresh copy for us. So I'm a big fan of reading aloud, and I think for adults and children. My partner loves it when I read aloud to him, so we do that quite often, and it's really a joy, and it brings reading to life. I mean, usually reading is such an alone thing to do. We sit quietly, we go into our own worlds, and we disappear into our own worlds. But when you read aloud, you join with somebody else, and you create a whole big moment. And the benefit for children is exponential. I have read some nonfiction titles about the brain, as a subject that fascinates me, and they often have chapters on how reading advances the brain and how it accelerates reading in children and accelerates learning in children. So I'm all for it. Bring on World Read Aloud Day. I also like that on radio, the word read aloud can also come across as read aloud. It's aloud. You are allowed to read aloud on World Read Aloud Day. How about a track? We've got New York, New York by Nicholas Nicolaides.
Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today. I wanna be a part of it. New York, New York. These vagabond shoes are
was New York, New York by Nicholas Nicolaides, and you're tuned into Book Choice, our special Publisher's Choice edition on Fine Music Radio. My name is Paige Nick, and this show is sponsored by Exclusive Books. Coming up next, we've got another publisher joining us in the house. We welcome Penguin Random House. Viz Chetty is here. Viz has a wealth of knowledge on literature, fiction, and nonfiction. He works with these books all day, every day. He's constantly seeing what's coming out, what's coming in from overseas. He understands what the hottest, latest big reads are. He understands what's trending, and he knows what kind of reads we're all looking out for. So welcome to the show, Viz Chetty from Penguin Random House. What have you got lined up?
Hello and happy 2025 to all the FMR listeners. Thank you, Paige, for having me. Thanks to the team at FMR You guys are wonderful, and we've had a great 2024 in publishing, and we're going to keep doing it this year. It's going to be one of those years where we keep bringing you better and better and better stuff. Starting off, these releases are Feb releases, so these are some of the bigger titles that we have coming in Feb. We've got lots and lots more to come for the rest of the year, so just keep an eye out for the show, and I'll let you know exactly what's going on as the days go by. Right, so the first title I want to talk about is the wonderful Jojo Moyes. She is such a staple in the publishing space now. And when we have a new book by Jojo Moyes, we get really, really excited. The book is called We All Live Here. It's a wonderful book about love and family and how all these things come together. It's about a woman named Lila Kennedy, who is a writer. And she is on the downslope of a marriage. Her husband has left her for, funny enough, one of the moms at their child's school. And he's left and the marriage is broken. So she's dealing with that. She's got two teenage daughters, by the way, who she's trying to deal with. They have very different personalities. She's got a stepfather who's quietly moved into her home, which she's not mad about, but it is slightly awkward. And then she's got her biological father who's now come back into her life. So it's about all these people coming together in this big house, dealing with all the things that they have to deal with, that similarly we all have to deal with, and how to navigate that. But essentially, what Jojo Moyes does really well is characterization. If you read any of her books before, you know she's done a lot of historical fiction, so this one is more contemporary. It's a fantastic read. It's going to be one of our biggest fiction titles for this year, that I can promise you. Readers love it when we have a new one by her, like I said, and look out for this one. If you're looking for something, it's funny, it's emotional at times, it's heartwarming, it's everything you want in a Jojo Moyes novel. And We All Live Here is out in February. You should see it actually in the next couple of weeks or so in stores or online. If you shop online, look out for that one. We All Live Here, Jojo Moyes. The next one is a debut novel. As you know, we bring many, many, many new authors into the fold and they publish with us. And sometimes we realize we find so much good talent out there. And Mary Watson is one of those good talents. So if you're in the mood for a good thriller, a really, really good, sharp thriller that has lots of twists and turns, and again, good character development, this is one you should look for. So the book is called The Cleaner by Mary Watson. It's about a woman named Esme who's now moved to Ireland. She takes a job as a cleaner. And how she gets the job, I'm not going to tell you, is really, really strange, but she has a plan. And she has a plan. I will say this is a bit of a revenge tale. She has a plan and she moves into a very exclusive gated neighborhood in Ireland where she meets all these families and they tell her secrets. The thing with Esme is, though, she can keep secrets, but whether she uses them as weapons is another thing altogether. So it's hard for me to give you this one without ruining it, and I really don't want to ruin it for you. So I think pick it up. It's called The Cleaner by Mary Watson. It is a debut novel, so you wouldn't have probably heard about her before, but this is a great little thriller. If you liked authors like Lisa Jewell, and she's a talent to look out for. Right, the next one is a bit of nonfiction that I've chucked in there. It's a big one for us. Jamie Oliver is back. As you know, every year we have a Jamie Oliver cookbook. It usually comes out around the end of the year, and usually you would see it in stores during Christmas and that sort of thing. But this year, we do have one like that coming probably at the end of the year. But for now, we've got a sort of drop-in title, as we like to call it, an air fryer cookbook. So if you have an air fryer in your home and all you're doing is potato wedges and a little bit of chicken every now and then, Jamie Oliver is here to show you that you can do more with that little black box that's sitting on your counter. So air fryer, it will give you really interesting recipes that you can cook. And one of those books that you do a recipe on there, you make something, you cook it, and people will be so surprised that you actually put it together in your air fryer. So Jamie Oliver is a master, as you know. He's everything that's food and what it's like to cook in the modern age. And I think we've been with him for so long. He's taught us so many things. He's done so many amazing books. So I think that the air fryer is a great addition to his selection. So chapters that are included in this book, the breakdown, I'll give you the name of the chapters. Things are quick fixes, new classics, Big Up the Veg. There's a chapter called Super Salads, A Little Bit Fancy is another chapter, Cute Canapes, and Get Your Bake On, and Proper Putts. So it's got everything in there. So you can make sweet things, you can make savory things, you can make Sunday dinners, you can make weekly, exactly what we all have air fryers for, which is just to save some time during the week when you're tired and coming back from work. But now we're going to change that, because now we can put together some really decent meals in your air fryer with Air Fryer by Jamie Oliver. And then the next one, going back to fiction, is James Patterson. If you are a fan of the Michael Bennett series, this is the newest one in that series. This is book number 17. So there's so many other books in this series. If you haven't picked it up, you don't have to go from book one. You can pick it up literally anywhere and you would be right in with the main character there, obviously Michael Bennett. James Patterson has many, many, many series, as you know, so many different things that he's done, fiction, nonfiction, different brands, as we call them. And Michael Bennett is one of his strongest and most popular brands. This one is the story of the case where Michael Bennett follows a murder case and several people have been murdered. It just so happens that the people that have been murdered are also fellow cops. So he gets an assignment by Inspector Celeste Cantor, who says to him, I want you to look at these deaths. You do it quietly. You do it on special assignment and you only report to me. So it's sort of under the table investigating, if you would like. But for me, the most interesting character in this book is actually the killer. It's one of those books where you sort of, it's horrible to say, but you sort of root for the killer in certain ways, you know, and you want him to get caught, but then he has these little wins, which you find sometimes it's funny and it's just entertaining, which is what these books were designed for. Even though he's a murderer, he does have a certain code, which makes him really interesting as well, a moral code, which is why I say sometimes you kind of root for him, like sometimes how we root for bad guys in movies. It's the same thing. So if you like the series, number 17 is on the way in Feb. Look out for that. If you haven't read the series, I promise you, pick it up. You'll become such a fan of it and you will want to go back and read the other 16 in the series. And then the next one, I kind of threw a wild card in here. If you like books like The Boy, The Mole, The Fox and The Horse, or Big Panda, Tiny Dragon, it's that sort of visual, philosophical, beautiful book. You might want to buy it and gift it to someone, or you might want to buy it like myself. I would buy it for someone else and then buy one for me, and then I'd just sort of keep doing that because people would just love the copy that I had and I would just give it away. It's one of those books. So gifty, coffee table, lovely, well illustrated and well put together, but it has a deep philosophical message. So this book is called Dear Moon by Zainab Halim. It has quotes and prompts and illustrations all inspired by the Quran. And it teaches you that life is full of highs and lows and every journey has to start somewhere. It's stunningly illustrated, like I said. It will appeal to more of our Muslim readers, obviously. But if you're not, that's fine too. It still has a message that I think is universal and that everyone can connect to. So Dear Moon by Zainab Halim. If you're in the market for something gifty and lovely like The Boy, The Mole, The Fox and The Horse, this is something you should look at. Right. And then I've got a nonfiction book here by Cody Sanchez. Personally, I've been a fan of Cody Sanchez for a while now. She's all over social media. She's so good with that. She used to be a Wall Street investor and she was very, very successful at that. But now she's sort of in another sort of business where she wants to teach people how to make money. And her message basically is you don't have to become a top investor. She's been in that space. She knows what it's like. Her whole philosophy is you can invest in the businesses that people overlook, the businesses that maybe it doesn't look as glamorous as you might think, but it generates a lot of money. And you don't have to have a lot of money to get involved with these businesses and to be a business person yourself. Her message is look at businesses like plumbing, construction, cleaning, electrical, all the types of businesses that white-collar people have maybe overlooked, right? And I'll give you a good example of this. One of the chapters she talks about someone who has a laundromat. And this particular guy was a long time in the game. He had his business for over 30 years. He was coming up on retirement. His kids didn't really want anything to do with the business. So what happens to a business like that where you've built all these customers? You've built all this loyalty in that community for that business. But then when the guy retires, what happens? You know, does it just close down and go away? Or can you be involved in something like that? So what would it take for you to get involved? And that's what she teaches you in this book. Other things that you will learn in this book is why today's market is ripe for generational wealth creation, how to identify and close amazing business deals without being wealthy, how to 10x your growth after acquiring a small business, how to own multiple businesses at once without losing your mind. So this will sort of reshape the way people have been taught. We've been taught to be an entrepreneur and you've got to start everything from the ground up. She's saying you can come in on the fifth floor. It's possible and you can be highly successful. So Main Street Millionaire by Cody Sanchez. And with that, that's all the books I have for you this month. So stick with me, stick with FMR, listen to the shows. And thank you very, very much. Bye.
Did I or did I not tell you? Viz really knows his books, right? Viz, I'm super interested in all the books you mentioned. The Jamie Oliver sounds fantastic, but I'm particularly interested in two of them. The first is the Jojo Moyes. I couldn't believe when I heard you say that Jojo Moyes has another book out, because I remember reading a Jojo Moyes quite recently. Someone Else's Shoes was the latest Jojo Moyes that I read, and I thought it was last year, but I went to go look, and that only came out in 2023. So it's not every single year. That would be wild. The new Jojo Moyes is very interesting. We all live here. And I like the sound of that. I think I'm going to give that a try. I also like the sound of the Mary Watson. I went to Google it while you were chatting to take a look and see what it is, The Cleaner. And I really like the cover. It looks like one of those traditional thrillers that you just whip through all the pages. Thank you for all those excellent recommendations, from fiction to nonfiction and a little bit of philosophy and some business sense. That's the full package that you've given us. No matter what you're interested in, I suspect you will find something on Viz's list. We're going to go to another song now. This is The Shape of My Heart by Vota Kellerman. That was The Shape of My Heart by Vota Kellerman. You're tuned in to Book Choice, Publisher's Choice, on Fine Music Radio. My name is Paige Nick. I'm hosting this show, and we are sponsored by Exclusive Books. We're just about halfway through this special show right now. We've heard from Pan McMillan, who told us about World Read Aloud Day, which has also reminded me that I want to give you an idea of a couple of my favorite books that I like to read aloud, as well as The Fly Went By. I also love an Oliver Jeffers. Anything by Oliver Jeffers is great. And he gets his timing really right, which makes the reading aloud very pleasurable. It's almost like reading poetry. But of course, it's for children. So it's got this twinkle in its eye and it's got this very light heart. So if you're looking for more recommendations of what to read aloud, other than everything that Viz just mentioned, I'm sure you can read adult books aloud, you can read children's books aloud. I'm not sure you can read cookbooks aloud, but the rest will do. We're moving on next to our final publisher for the show. We've got Jonathan Ball Publishers are here. They're going to tell us about what they've been working on and what they've got coming up this February. And maybe there'll be a title in here that you might want to read aloud to somebody.
Welcome to Blind Date with a Book, the radio segment where we challenge you to fall in love with a story you never expected. This is Jane Rousseau from Jonathan Ball Publishers. Picture this: no covers, no titles, just a few intriguing clues to spark your curiosity. Each book we present is wrapped in mystery, waiting for its perfect match. Maybe it's you. Whether you're into thrilling mysteries, heartwarming romances, or thought-provoking fiction, there's something here to surprise and delight you. So sit back, relax, and let's see if today's blind date could be your next favorite read. Get ready to unwrap a world of possibilities. First up from the blind date team, we have Melanie from the marketing department.
What happens when two nerds start a personal game of playing nice? Will they be able to outplay each other, even when their hearts are on the line? For main character Rose, risks are a hard no, unless it's game night. It's the one night a week where she can let go of everything, except her hyper-competitive nature that comes out around her best friend's brother. And William is everything a nerdy girl could want. He is tall, dorky, and a handsome game designer. And while William is Rose's game nemesis, he is also the only one who could help her achieve her dream. Playing Flirty by Shameez Patel is a must-read for board game lovers across the world, and it's coming to stores soon. My next recommendation is perfect for those who are in their spicy sports rom-com era. Are you looking for an unconventional love story to spice up your summer evenings? From the author dubbed as the Michelangelo of Dirty Talk comes a steamy chance encounter between a professional hockey player and the maniac pixie dream girl he just can't seem to forget. It takes a turn while the pair realize that their parents are engaged. This is the third book in the Big Shot series by Tessa Bailey. Dream Girl Drama is coming out in February. I'm now handing over to Nicole from our publishing department.
Calling all small town spicy romance lovers. If you love the charm of a small town, cozy vibes, main characters with undeniable chemistry, and most importantly, the pop cultural impact of the Gilmore Girls, we have the series just for you. Welcome to Dream Harbor, the tiny town with a huge personality, where you'll find the Pumpkin Spice Cafe, the Cinnamon Bun Bookstore, the Christmas Tree Farm, and soon, the Strawberry Patch Pancake House. Make your way around the town, one romance at a time, for the perfect dose of coziness, no matter the weather outside. Get lost in heartwarming vibes, charming townspeople, and whirlwind romances. The first book of the delightful Dream Harbor series by Laurie Gilmore is The Pumpkin Spice Cafe. Picture this. A small town cafe, bursting with the scent of autumn in every cup, where a slow burn romance unfolds between Jeannie, the cafe's unexpectedly sunshiny new owner, and Logan, a grumpy but kind-hearted farmer. Toss in some flickering lights, quirky townsfolk, and plenty of pumpkin spice, and you've got the perfect recipe for a romantic mystery. If you love this book, you're in for a treat, because Dream Harbor has even more to offer. Laurie Gilmore has a knack for creating characters you'd want to grab a coffee or a cinnamon bun with, while weaving tales that leave you smiling long after the last page. In the Cinnamon Bun Bookshop, Gilmore introduces a lovable bookshop owner navigating second chances, both in love and life. Meanwhile, the Christmas Tree Farm serves up holiday magic, featuring a swoon-worthy fake dating trope that's impossible to resist. And keep an eye out for the next book in the series, The Strawberry Patch Pancake House, coming out later this year. So whether you're a seasoned romance reader or looking to fall in love with the genre, these books are all like a warm hug, and they're trending all over BookTok for a reason. Get your hands on them before they fly off the shelves. That's all from me. Over to you, Sandy, from marketing.
Looking for your next sweet and spicy romance? Then imagine this. He's Elias Westbrook, a hot new hockey player who's feeling the weight of fame, media frenzy, and all the expectations. Everyone is obsessed with him. The fans, obsessed. The tabloids, obsessed, and tracking his every single move. But not just how he plays. There's major interest in the women that he's seen with. But all he really wants is to escape the spotlight and score his first career goal. That brings us to our heroine, Sage Beaumont. She's an aspiring ballerina, talented, and with all the heart to make it in the professional ballet world. And she's up for the chance at a lead role. But this is the world of social media, so online popularity matters just as much as her talents. And unfortunately, popularity is where Sage finds herself falling short. Until she gets the perfect idea, a fake dating plot, a tale as old as time. If she fake dates Elias, it's the ultimate distraction from the press for him, and for herself, it's a chance to grab onto the spotlight that she needs. But what starts as a perfectly crafted scheme quickly unravels, and the fake dating rules are completely shattered. Their sizzling connection becomes impossible to ignore. So if you're a pink Pilates princess, if you love stories about soft blush tones, ballet tights, but just a bit of edge, then Spiral by Balcabra is your perfect blind date book. Grab a copy today, because there's one book date that you don't want to miss. And speaking of books that I wouldn't want to miss, I can't wait for the release of the third book in Kennedy Ryan's Skyline series, coming in May this year. The entire series revolves around three best friends, and this time it's Hendrix. So this one is for the boss babes. It features a plus-size, childless-by-choice celebrity manager as the protagonist. She knows what she wants, and she pursues it. But she also knows that she deserves some love and tenderness. And in this book, she gets it, and then some. I cannot wait to get my hands on this one. I also can't wait for the release of Sweet Heat, which is the sequel to Bolu Babalola's Honey and Spice, which takes place years after the end of Honey and Spice, where evidently, the happily ever after we were promised did not last. I'm still in shock and awe at this premise, but I just need to read it to see if they patch things up. And they'd better patch things up, otherwise this Cupid will not be happy.
And that wraps up this episode of Blind Date with a Book. We hope you've inspired to take a chance on something new and unexpected. After all, you never know when a book could change your life. If today's titles piqued your interest, visit any South African bookstore to grab your copy. Or why not try your own blind date with a book and see where it takes you? Thanks for tuning in, and remember, the best stories are often the ones you least expect. Until next time, happy reading and happy exploring.
I forgot, Valentine's Day is coming up, and that's why we've got Blind Date with a Book. And you're so right, the best stories are the ones you least expect. I love a blind date with a book. In fact, I very rarely read the blurb of a book. I like to be surprised about what's coming. So often it works in my favor. I'll be reading a book and get a huge surprise at a plot twist, turn the book over at some point or when I'm done and see that it's pointed out on the back cover. And then I'm always so glad that I didn't read it and I was able to experience it firsthand as I was reading. Another way that I find blind dates with books is through Airbnbs. Some of the reads I've found there have been my biggest and most joyous surprises. You arrive at an Airbnb, often they have a bookshelf where you can take a book and leave a book. You finish what you're reading and leave it behind, and I scan the shelves, and every now and then something will leap out at you, and I'll grab one of those. And some of those have been some of my very favorite reads of all time, actually. Not things that I ever expected. And it also engages with you and gets you to read genres that you may not ordinarily read. So I'm big on a blind date with a book. I was also interested in some of the titles that you mentioned. In particular, you talked about a book called Playing Flirty with Shamiz Patel. Now, you know that thing where you've never heard of a book or an author before, and then suddenly you see it everywhere. So when you said Playing Flirty by Shamiz Patel, it just reminded me that I actually saw this exact book being reviewed on the Good Book Appreciation Society, which is a book club that I run on Facebook, and anyone's welcome to join. And I saw that Gail Schimmel had reviewed this book, Playing Flirty, a couple of days ago. And Gail Schimmel is an author I have a lot of time for. She writes domestic thrillers. She's a South African author. Her most recent novel is called The Finished Line. And Gail and I have a funny joke because my mom always says that Gail is her favorite South African author, despite the fact that I'm an author. But still, that just goes to show how much she enjoys Gail's writing. My favorite title of Gail's is definitely The Cowley Twins. But I've enjoyed most of her books. They're fantastic reads. They're very energetic and they keep you turning the pages. Anyway, I wanted to tell you about Gail's review of Playing Flirty by Shamiz Patel. She says here, are you looking for an easy, gobble-it-up, feel-good rom-com? Look no further than Shamiz Patel's Playing Flirty. I gobbled it up in a day. Shamiz, who is South African, also wrote the magnificent Celine trilogy, which is pure classic fantasy. She adds, they're always interesting when a writer successfully crosses genres. As I said, I have a lot of respect for Gail's work. She reads very widely. I enjoy her reviews. And this gave me a good feeling, and I thought this seemed like a great title. So with that, my thanks to the Jonathan Ball Publishing team, and we're going to a track. This is called The Voice, and it's by Selim Khaji.
The wind. And my child, you say to me, I am the voice of your history. Be not afraid, come follow me. Answer my call and I'll set you free.
That was The Voice by Selim Kaji. We're coming now to the very end of our show. We have one more segment, and it's brought to us by Exclusive Books, who are also the sponsors of this show. Batya Bricke is here. She's the manager of books and brands at Exclusive Books, and there is not much Batya doesn't know about books. So welcome to the show, Batya Bricke. What have you got going on your bookshelves, Batya Bricke? What's Exclusive Books got to offer us?
I'm Batya Bricke from Exclusive Books. Hello. And I've been wondering, are award-winning books really worth all the hype? Is the formal accolade really the mark of a well-written book? And how does one judge what is good? Most importantly, is a so-called good book always a treat to read? I used the summer holidays to read some of the titles scooping up the honors over the past year. The first was Orbital by Samantha Harvey. It was the Booker Prize winner for 2024, so it was first in line. Now, don't let the slimness of the volume mislead you. The book's beautiful prose and deep insights on humanity and humanness demand slow reading. You'll be with this book for a while. Six astronauts and cosmonauts from America, Russia, Italy, the UK and Japan rotate in the International Space Station. They are there to do vital work, but slowly they begin to wonder, what is life without Earth? What is the Earth without humanity? Together, as they travel at speeds of over 17,000 miles an hour, they watch their silent blue planet, circling it 16 times in a single day, spinning past continents, and cycling through seasons, taking in glaciers and deserts, the peaks of mountains and the swells of ocean. We glimpse moments of their earthly lives through brief communications with family, their photos and talismans. We watch them whip up dehydrated meals, sound disgusting, by the way, float in gravity-free sleep and exercise in regimented routines to prevent atrophying muscles. We witness them form bonds that will stand between them and utter solitude. The fragility of human life fills their conversations, their fears, their dreams. So far from Earth, they have never felt more part of it or more protective of it. Orbital is one of only a handful of novels set in space to have been nominated for the Booker Prize over the years, and it is the first space set winner. I can't resist. It is out of this world. The Pulitzer Prize was awarded to Jane Ann Phillips for her novel, The Night Watch. It's a beautifully rendered novel set in West Virginia's Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum in the aftermath of the Civil War, where a severely wounded Union veteran, a 12-year-old girl, and her mother, long abused by a Confederate soldier, struggle to heal. It's 1874, in the wake of the war, and erasure, trauma, and namelessness haunt civilians and veterans, renegades and wanderers, freed men and runaways. 12-year-old Connelly, the adult in her family for as long as she can remember, finds herself on a buckboard journey with her mother, Eliza, who hasn't spoken in more than a year. They arrive at the Lunatic Asylum in West Virginia, delivered to the hospital's entrance by a war veteran who has forced himself into their world. There, far from family, a beloved neighbor, and the mountain home they knew, they try to reclaim their lives. The story was haunting and at times graphically brutal, but it's also a story about endurance and resolve, capturing the all-too-relevant impact of war on mental health and identity. Throughout the book, and from whom the book takes its title, is the Night Watch. His real name is John O'Shea, but his job has become his name. That obliteration of identity is but one theme that Jane and Phillips explores so eloquently. The importance of a name and the identity a name proffers is also deftly explored in the next novel, which for me was an absolute masterpiece of fiction. It's called James by Percival Everett, and it was the Goodreads Choice Award. It was shortlisted for the book. It didn't win. And Barnes & Noble, the enormous book chain in America, chose this as their book of the year in 2024, and well-deserved indeed. It's a brilliant reimagining of Adventures of Huckleberry Finn, both harrowing and ferociously funny, but it's told from the enslaved Jim's point of view. And when Jim hears that he is about to be sold to a man in New Orleans, separated from his wife and daughter forever, he runs away until he can formulate a plan. Meanwhile, Huck has faked his own death to escape his violent father. As all readers of American literature know, thus begins the dangerous and transcendent journey by raft down the Mississippi River toward the elusive and unreliable promise of the free states and beyond. Brimming with the electrifying humor and lacerating observations that have made Everett a literary phenomenon, this brilliant and tender novel radically illuminates Jim's agency, intelligence, and compassion as never before. James has been a major publishing event, and it has been pipped as a cornerstone of 21st century American literature. It is simply masterful in both its gripping plot, but also its premise. It's subversive, it's smart, it's daring. It is so highly recommended. Shakespeare and Company is often described as the most famous bookstore in the world. And it was from this location that Beach published Joyce's Ulysses, and where Joyce, along with Ernest Hemingway, Juno Barnes, Ezra Pound, Anae Nin, James Baldwin, etc., etc., hung out. One of their favorite reads of the past year was a book called Brotherless Night by V.V. Ganeshananthan, Jaffna. 1981. 16-year-old Sashi wants to become a doctor, but over the next decade, a vicious civil war tears through her home, and her dream spins off course as she sees her four beloved brothers and their friend Kay swept up in mounting violence. Desperate to act, Sashi accepts Kay's invitation to work as a medic at the field hospital for the militant Tamil Tigers, who, following years of discrimination and violence, are fighting for a separate homeland for Sri Lanka's Tamil minority. But after the Tigers murder one of her teachers, and Indian peacekeepers arrive only to commit further atrocities, Sashi begins to question where she stands. When one of her medical school professors, a Tamil feminist and dissident, invites her to join a secret project documenting human rights violations, she embarks on a dangerous path that will change her forever. Set during the early years of Sri Lanka's three-decade civil war, Brotherless Night is a heart-rending portrait of one woman's moral journey and a testament to both the enduring impact of war and the bonds of home. The last choice was Waterstones' Book of the Year. Waterstones is the largest book chain in the UK, and their choice reflects the current fascination, or obsession perhaps, with everything Japanese. These books, translated from the original, are traditionally written in spare language. They are so evocative of Japanese culture and norms, their cities and foods and way of life. It's not for everyone. It's a very different style of writing and reading, but millions of readers have fallen in love with this genre. I urge you to try one, at least, to see if it's your cup of tea. This one is called Butter by Asaka Yusuki. It's a cult Japanese bestseller about a female gourmet cook and serial killer, and the journalist's intent on cracking her case, inspired by a true story. There are two things that I can simply not tolerate: feminists and margarine. gourmet cook Manako Kaji sits in Tokyo's detention center, convicted of the serial murders of lonely businessmen who she is said to have seduced with her delicious home cooking. The case has captured the nation's imagination, but Kaji refuses to speak with the press, entertaining no visitors, that is, until journalist Rika Mejida writes a letter to her asking for a recipe for beef stew, and Kaji can just not resist writing back. Rika, the only woman in her news office, works late each night, rarely cooking more than ramen. As the visits unfold between her and the steely Kaji, they are closer to a masterclass in food than journalistic research. Rika opens this gastronomic exchange, and she hopes that it will soften Kaji, but it seems that she might be the one changing. With each meal she eats, something is awakened in her body. Might she and Kaji have more in common than she once thought? Inspired by the real case of the convicted con woman, Black Widow serial killer, the Konkatsu killer, Asako Yusuzuki's Butter is a vivid, unsettling exploration of misogyny, obsession, romance, and the transgressive pleasures of food in Japan. So these were some of the official award winners from last year. But award winners or not, you will find simply the best reads for you on the shelves of Exclusive Books.
Oh, thank you, Butcher. Thank you so much. You know, with just about every title that you mentioned there, I was like, oh, I've heard of that, or I've read a review of that. And of course, that's because these are award winners and they get quite a lot of press. For me, the thing about award winners is that awards have a kind of different profile. So I think as a reader, the trick is to find the awards that suits your literary palate. It's a little bit like fashion. There are those stores that you know you can go into and you'll always find something that suits you, and other stores you walk in and you're like, there is nothing here for me. I often find that the Bookers are very, very literary and I don't always enjoy them. There used to be a Costa Prize, which I very much enjoyed, and I used to find that every year I would read the winner and I would generally really enjoy it. So yeah, I think find the awards that work for you and find the books that work for you. On Orbital, that first book that you mentioned that won the Booker, I've heard such great reviews of this book. I haven't heard a single negative review. And I was out on the weekend and I saw somebody reading it at a coffee shop. And bless people who read in coffee shops. I always crane and practically break my neck to see what they're reading. I saw another guy was reading on his Kindle and I broke my neck to see what he was reading. And he was reading Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow by Gabriel Zevin. And I stopped to tell him that that was my favorite book of 2023 by a country mile. It is genius. But anyway, back to the person who was reading Orbital. She was having a breakfast and reading Orbital, and I took a look at it and I was quite struck by how slim it was. And Butcher also mentioned that. It's a very slim little book, but by all accounts, it's absolutely brilliant. So I will definitely be picking that one up, and I highly recommend you do too. This award conversation is a big one that we're always having. These long lists and short lists come out, and then the winners come out, and it's a great opportunity to find a great book recommendation and see if you agree with the judges. Some do and some don't. In fact, there was quite a lot of chatter about the book that won the Sunday Times Literary Award in 2024 in South Africa, The Bitterness of Olives by Andrew Brown, who is a brilliant author, and this is a fantastic book as well. So now we're wrapping up. We've come to the end of the show, and I want to just give you my last word on Read Aloud Day, which is tomorrow. I have one more Read Aloud recommendation, and that is audiobooks. Is that not the epitome of reading aloud? I have mentioned before that I had some dental work done and I sat in the chair and listened to an audiobook. I listened to a comedy and I basically laughed my way through Root Canal. So that was a great read aloud experience for me. But my suggestion to you is next time you're on a road trip with your family, or you're going a long distance, or if you're just stuck in traffic, so you're going to be in the car for a while, instead of arguing over music and having one teenager in the back seat listening to music on their headphones and you're listening to your own music, or maybe you're forced to listen to their station, or if you're doing the right thing, you're listening to Fine Music Radio. But over and above that, on a long road trip, I can highly recommend an audiobook. You can get them free on Libby, which is the library app. There's also Audible, You can choose your title and download it. The Trevor Noah titles are fantastic for this kind of thing. Everyone in the family can enjoy it, and you can really immerse yourself in a good book. So don't forget, tomorrow, the 5th of February, is World Read Aloud Day, and you are allowed to read aloud. I want to thank Mzuma Keta for all the great tracks on this show. I want to thank Pan Macmillan, Penguin Random House, Jonathan Ball Publishers, and Exclusive Books for taking out time out of their busy publishing days to tell us what to read. I want to thank you, our dear listener, for giving us your ears, lending us your ears, and spending the last hour with us. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time with another show. And until then, we're playing out with Someday by Louise Howlett and Albert Komperig. Until then, happy reading, and thank you for tuning in.
Sublime Schubert, The Great Romantics, the Beethoven Triple Concerto, German gems celebrating youth. Some of the titles of the 10 concerts in the Cape Town Philharmonic Orchestra's Franschhoek Chamber Music Festival in the Winelands from February the 13th to the 16th, with star violinist Miklan Lipang in many of them. Enjoy the CPO's champagne cocktail and the food and drink on sale on the lawns outside. Tickets at Cricket, and for more information, go to fcmf.co.za.
Is your car still under warranty? Did you know that you can now choose where you have it serviced without the warranty being compromised? Don't let your next service cost an arm and a leg. At AutoWorks, you get original parts with a 60,000 kilometer one-year warranty and workmanship as good as the agents. To keep your car maintained according to the original manufacturer specifications, visit autoworks.co.za. AutoWorks. We make autos work.
At Schmitthauser Electrical and Plumbing, no job is too big or too small. Contact us today to schedule your next appointment for any electrical repairs, from a small wall plug repair to a rewire of your entire building. We offer inverter installations, solar connections, electric fence maintenance and repairs, plus basic home electrical upgrades. Call now on 021 4244 588. Schmitthauser, Swiss ingenuity, South African pride.
The FMR Benefit Gala is a celebration of 30 years on air. On the 6th of April, we bring FMR to the Opera Stage at Artscape with a variety of our music and presenters, stunning visuals, lighting and sound. Artists range from the full CPO to James Grace on solo guitar and everyone in between. You will also experience the world premiere of the FMR.